Welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the bonus interview with debut author Tony Quintana. Tony is amazing, and his first book, I had the pleasure of reading an earlier version of it, and it is like steampunk with fantasy elements, with like this big epic story that's also got this amazing character development in the main character, Dashiell. So it's also really intimate. And somehow Tony, and I'm very, very jealous of him, managed to combine that big epic world with a really intimate story about one guy's development. Tony, even though I'm super jealous and envious of you, I am so glad you're here and that I get to pick your brain today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor for me. Amazing to be talking to you today.
Oh, you are so silly. So silly. And I think it's an honor to talk to you because you are in my head, just like this bright, shining light in the future of publishing. So, Tony, if you don't mind me saying, you're kind of young, right? Like, you're not a super old human being right now, only in spirit. What?
No, I'm just 25.
And you started, like, 25, and you started writing this novel in college, right?
I was 21 back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 4 years ago. It was quite a ride.
What like inspired you to start writing this story? Like, was there a inciting incident in your own life that made you think?
I wouldn't say like inciting action. I would just say that this story came to me like bits and pieces of it came to me like 10 years ago. And I've always been a creative kind of child, you know. I've always loved to draw and to paint and to like even like acting. I've always done acting, and those are the things I really like, and those things really gave me like bits and pieces of ideas for this story, and just came to be, and it grew until the day I decided to write it. And I think that's what happened. Like, there's no, I would say also, like a little bit of my background. Yeah. I was born in Cancun, Mexico. I was born there, and I, you know, like with like the beach and the ocean and everything, and you see like the jungles and like all these like different biomes combined together, and it's so beautiful.
Oh yeah,
and I would say, like, it just, that's one of like the values of my book is environmental preservation. Yeah. So I think like I'm just like, it's not like I had like this one thing that happened and it just came to be. No, it's just like my background and what are the things I like to do. Those inspire me to create my book.
Yeah. So like, I think that what you just said, like, kind of made me have a baby epiphany in my brain, because your book has so many connections within it, from character to character, from landscape to landscape, and thematically. And I can kind of see how, as an artist who sees the world in scenes as an actor, you know, and sees the world in images as a visual artist, how all of that came in and informed your story. But also, are you in the States still right now?
So oh, I live in the United States, yeah.
Yeah, so you were born in Cancun, and then you're in the United States, and both of those had to play a big influence in how you recreated and built this world piece by piece and image by image that Dashiell inhabits in this big, epic adventure, you know? And, like, it's amazing to me how there's so many visual images and image systems that go on in there. Do you think that was intuitive, or was it something that you had to consciously build in?
Ooh, it's a good question. No, it's fine. It's a good question. Something I can say is whenever I'm like with my friends or just doing something by myself, I have these like quick moments where I just like stare blankly at nothing and just start thinking about like brainstorming, and it happens quite often. Also happens when I'm listening to music. Music is amazing. Yeah. It helps you a lot. It can be like anything. It can be rock, it can be heavy metal, it can be classical, pop, whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like this like these melodies or like words, and those are those help me, and they kind of like spark something in my head, and yeah, that's what happens. That's yeah, it's kind of hard explaining.
It's so hard to explain the process sometimes, you know, like, but I think you did a great job. And when I just think about like connections and meldings and how you built off of this book, which hopefully is going to be the first book of a series, how like even your media campaigns, like on your Instagram or the images that you created or that other people created for you too, like how I've never seen somebody create something so well, so quickly in the whole world around their own book. Like you can really see how you have so many skills. Is that part fun for you? Like
I love drawing. Yeah. I love drawing. And when I create something and I write it down, I like to have like a drawing to just like look at when I'm writing about something, like to have something like to visualize it. I'm a very visual guy.
Yeah.
And even with the clothes, like I have pictures of my characters with different clothing options. And I do this because it really helps. And those drawings, those things that I create, they're pretty much how I picture my characters, how I picture the creatures that I created, how I picture the places that I've come up with. And yeah, no, it's really fun. To answer your question, it's really, really fun to do this. It's time consuming, not going to lie.
But in the end, your product is so, you know, your book, your story, like it's so detailed and so believable, like you're drawn into that world. I think because you have that other aspect that you can draw upon. I'm using the word draw far too much. I'm so sorry. But, you know, it's just everything is informing each other. Thematically, it's interesting too. I'm a terrible, terrible artist, but I paint, and I often paint when I get stuck in a story. So a lot of my paintings, even though they're not these, my art's so different from yours, but they're not these detailed drawing. There's like, they're more, you know, thematic feeling paintings, and they often help me through that writing process. I wonder if that ever happens for you too, like when you're like, oh, I'm gonna draw him and this is gonna be his costume or outfit for this day, like if it helps bring you in a little more during that drafting or even revising.
No, but first of all, it doesn't have to be like a perfect drawing. I'm not a professional artist at all.
No.
I draw because I have some experience, and all my drawings are cartoons. Like I cannot do like hyper-realistic stuff. No, that goes beyond my current abilities, my current skills. Perhaps in the future. So don't worry. Yeah. It can be a stick figure. It can be whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter as long as you know what that thing represents and how it's going to help you.
Yeah. You said you're not a perfectionist with your art, but I know that you're a perfectionist in your story. And I would love it if you could share with everyone about how you start, what language you started this big, beautiful book in, and the transition that happened and how you battled your perfectionism, because so many authors fight that too.
No,
do you have
any
helpful hints?
So I'm going to tell you all that my book started in Spanish. So I'm a native Spanish speaker. And when I decided to write it, I started doing it in Spanish because it was going to be easier, right? And then one day I decided, oh, you know what? I live in the United States. I know Spanish is my native language. But still, like, I think I was just going to try doing it in English because that's bigger of a challenge. And that's when I had to learn how to write in English, because you have like all these elements, different elements that you have to memorize and you have to learn, because English and Spanish, their sentences, they can have like completely different meanings.
Oh, so different.
And so no, it was fun. I'm so glad I did it because I acquired a new skill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so about the perfectionist part of it, of your questions. I'm a total perfectionist. It hurts my heart. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. Don't take me wrong. Like, it's, there are some good things, because that the being a perfectionist helps me improve my writing, improve my drawings, improve everything I create. But also, sometimes it won't let you let go of things. It won't let you tell yourself, you know, what I've done is good enough.
Yeah.
It's good enough, and people are going to like it. And you got, like, this, like, little devil here in your shoulder telling you, like, no, you got to, like, keep improving on it, keep improving on it. And you just got to learn to let go.
Yeah.
Just really, like, trust yourself. And it's something I've gotten better at. But, yeah, it's a matter of just trusting yourself and saying, you know, it's good enough, because you poured your heart and soul into this story, into these characters, into all these creatures and places and everything.
And then you're like, oh, and it's so hard, because it's like you control your world while you still have your book. But then once you let your book go, you're opening it up to interpretation, and writing is a communication. And so many of us forget that as we're writing it. And there's a level of vulnerability that happens when you let that book
It's go. Very funny. I kind of like interpretation for my readers, because there was once this woman that read my book, and she really liked it. And she was telling me about her favorite characters. One of my characters, Sylvain, is Dashiell's companion in the story, right? And becomes his best friend. And she was telling me, like, before, let me tell you how I describe Sylvain, or how I picture him in my head, right? So for me, he was kind of like an earthy guy with, like, the color scheme of the earth, you know, like the greens and the browns.
Yeah.
The gray and, like, the blacks and everything. But this woman, when she was just, like, describing me how to picture him, she was like, oh, I picture him, like, wearing, like with the eyeliner and black gothic style clothes. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting idea. Of course, like, I never really picture him that way. I already explained how I describe him in my head. But yeah, interpretation is really good. And you're right, my story out there can be it's nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it's so scary. And it's like collaboration, you know, you can write your words down, you can say a tree, but I might be thinking pine and you might be thinking palm. And, like, the reader thinks some totally different tree. And so it becomes like a collaboration in the reader's brain of their thoughts and your words. And that's, like, so wild and magical and cool. And I want to make sure, I know this is kind of hard, but can you tell us what your book is about, just so people, you know, before we go, have a good understanding of how cool this book is? I know it's super hard for most of us, but maybe you've got it pat down, because you're amazing.
Let's try. Okay. So 16 years have passed since the Empire of Saffronia was taken over by a new emperor. So oppression, injustice, and many other bad things were spread across the empire, except for one place, a town that was built in the center of this beautiful forest called Azar. So the town has, the name of the town is also Azar. And in Azar, there's this boy, this young man called Dashiell Hermitage. Dashiell, he is the a librarian's apprentice, and he longs to explore the life beyond the barrier. The barrier is a magical gift from a deity that lives inside Azar, the forest. And pretty much no one can go in or out. It's no one can. And but he has lived kind of like a shelter life. He dealt with this childhood disease that left him bedridden for most of his childhood. And he has, like, this longing to, like, just leave Azar and just learn about what's beyond the barrier, right? And one day he gets the opportunity when two of the Empire metal soldiers, they're called Ogre Brigadiers. And they're, like, big robotic beings that have flaming swords, and two of them manage to infiltrate the forest. when they do,
terrifying.
Start casting havoc all around the forest, and Dashiell, with the help of Sylvain, an odd fellow that arrived at the forest, they manage to defeat the soldiers, the ochre brigadiers. After they do that, Dashiell gets the opportunity to join the Kobold Phantasm Order. It's an order that aims to not rebel or have like a long-term change. They just aim to provide relief to the rest of the empire. And that's what they do. And that's how Dashiell gets his opportunity to go outside the barrier, and he makes new friends, and he goes on this like amazing journey, this epic journey with, yeah, it's, I don't want to say more than that, but
you don't want to spoil it.
You're right. It's kind of hard to explain your story.
It's so hard, but you did a fantastic job. And I think you touched on one of the things that I, you know, with my own bias, love about your story is that I think a long, long time ago, you told me that part of what you wanted your story to have inside of it was that the belief that kindness is important, and that if you believe in yourself and if you act with that strong sense of service and kindness, good things can happen and you can make something of your journey. And I think that's so important and so lovely, and that you do it so deftly without being didactic. And, yeah.
Whoever sees this, please don't think that I'll be like preaching.
No,
you gotta be kind. And you gotta like become a vegan. I don't know. I'm not just gonna say stuff like that. No.
Do not touch that plastic water bottle. No, it's not like that. It's just it's embedded beautifully in the characters and in their actions and in their choices and in the outcomes of their good choices and their bad choices. And it's so well done. And I'm not the only person who thinks that. I mean, Kirkus is kind of cranky typically. They're like, they said your novel sublimely fused elements of fantasy and real world elements of history. And that's like, and they also said you had tightly written scenes and that you pack your pages with rich details. Forward Clarion Reviews said that you create a realm where anything seems possible. And Blue Ink Review said you had a compelling read. And so like those are just really lovely reviews and takes on a really, really great novel written by a great person. And you know, the personalities of authors often seep through on their pages and even in their Instagram stories, Tony. And I think that your kindness and your wonderful humanity really does all the time. Like even in the you have to go visit Tony's page, his Instagram page and his Amazon page and all his pages, which we'll have links to in the podcast notes and in the blog. But, you know, even the quotes that you pick out, like on your Instagram, they show so much about you. Like, remember to take care of yourself. You can't pour from an empty cup, or you have an F. Scott Fitzgerald quote that is part of the beauty of all literature. You discover that your longings are universal longings and that you're not lonely and isolated from anyone and you belong. Do you think that, do you know that you do that inside of your story? Or is it just, you're like, oh, Carrie, you're embarrassing me, stop. Or do you think it's like an intentional thing sometimes? Or is it just how you see the world somehow flutters into those words and sentences and paragraphs and scenes?
No, that's why I picked that quote for that post, is because I agree with F. Scott Fitzgerald. It's amazing. Like, and I think it's because when you read, you have the ability to create this like your own interpretation of this world. And if you can relate to the story and the characters, like just build this like whole new world where you are like the center of it. Yeah. And it's kind of hard to explain, but that's the beauty of it. And that it's you belong because you, I know it's the author created the world. There's no doubt about it. The author created this world and created the characters, created like everything about it. But you create like a whole new, like a parallel universe. And
yeah,
it's your own thing. And that's why it's so special, because it came from you. You like what I said about interpretation. You interpreted the characters in a way that relates to you, that they are like your family, your friends. And
yeah,
it's pure. I love it.
And you get attached to them too, like they're your family and your friends, right? So are you going to write some follow-up books to this?
I'm glad to say that I'm currently working on Dois Master, Crystal Ascension. That's going to be the sequel to Dois Master, Assassin's Creed.
That's exciting. Do you know when it might come out? No pressure, perfectionist. But do you have any ideas?
I promise not to take 4 years to do it. Because I was in college. My first book took a little bit longer to publish because I was in college and my life was kind of hectic. But I would like it to be published by the end of this year, but only time will tell. Also, another thing that some authors might like agree with me is procrastination is horrible.
Oh, no. You know what? You have to think of it as like time in which your brain makes those beautiful connections and builds the world and takes in all the influences of life that you can then reinterpret on the page. That's what I say. I'm like,
that's a really good definition of procrastination. Yeah. I'm going to adopt it if you don't mind.
Feel free to use it as an excuse, because I do it all the time. Before we go, Tony, and it's such a pleasure to have you here. I'm so excited to see what's going to happen with your writing as the years go by. And I feel really lucky to get to know you in the beginning of that journey. Whew, yay me. But before we go, are there any links that you want to, or shout outs or anything else that you might want to share?
Yeah, well, you can find me. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook. Those are like my main social media platforms. Tony M. Quintana. You can find me in those two places. I also like the same for TikTok. It's brand new thing. I'm sorry if it's not big right now, but I'm not a big social media guy. I'm just trying to do my best to survive. But yes, I have Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, Tony M. Quintana.
Yay. Tony is amazing as a writer and as a human. And Tony, the best of luck to you. Thank you so much for hanging out here with me today.
Thank you very much, Gary. It's been an honor being here. And it's been so much fun.
Thank you.
Hey there. Thanks for listening. The dogs are smarter than people. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share your heart out.
These podcasts and more are at my website, carriejonesbooks.blog.
There's even a little donation button there. Because even a dollar inspires a happy dance in Carrie.
And Sean.
But hers are much better than mine.
His are funnier.
So thank you so much for your support.
The music you hear here is made available through the Creative Commons, and it's a bit of a shortened track.
Who is the artist and what's the song?
Well, it's Summer Spliff by Broke for Free.
I love that song.
He does.
Just because of the name.
He does. Thanks for listening
so much. Boop.